Good job, Proby.
Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Co-host, Mitch Glenn, is in the house. And we are actually with Chris Johnson. And surprisingly enough, we are all from Arkansas, but we are all down here at Lake Washington
in the Crooked Letter State.
In the Crooked Letter State, hashtag 2025 MS Fish Camp. We are down here for this event. Had Chris come down, invite him down,
yep.
Because he is a shallow water angler, and this lake is shallow water pretty much the whole way around.
It's yep. some beautiful stuff now.
Yep. And so, and Mitch, of course, he's down and he's talking to people about Pico Lures and some of the products that he has. And so we'll get to both of them, find it out and see what's happening. Chris, tell us a little bit about, so far about, coming to media camp. Is this your first one?
Yeah, this is my first time coming here and, wow, what a blast. I'm having a wonderful time, getting to meet the riders and the other anglers, you know, even though, we're fishing for different fish in different ways. It's really been awesome getting to interact with a lot of other anglers and media folk.
Right. And so, like maybe some YouTube stuff maybe coming out of this. Huh?
Oh, yeah. There will be plenty of that coming down the road here. And made a couple videos today out on the water.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My media guy made a couple videos as well, you know. So,
wow.
You know, I ran into one little spot back up in a little slough. And, you know, I looked at Mike and I said, hey, man, I got to pull over here. We're going to run some, I got to run a couple videos real quick for my YouTube channel. So,
right.
You know,
I watch them.
Yeah.
They're very informative.
Yeah.
Or I like funny.
It's kind of odd. Like I told him, I said, man, I'll be fishing along one day and it just, something will hit me like that. And I just jump down and throw down a video real quick. You know? So, you know, if I don't do it right then, it's not going to happen, you know. So, but yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. And Mitch, you're down here, but you've been down here before.
Yeah. I love, you can't keep me away.
Yeah. This is great.
I love this place.
So, you're down here and you're, talking about Pico products, I take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Using Pico products.
Too. And using.
That's, I can't think of a better lake to put them in.
And then of course you're cheating.
Unless it's the lake that you live on.
You're cheating because you have James Callaway that lives right down here and he catches a lot of fish.
And Mark Hammerlin and Will Hudo.
So those people all use your crankbaits. What do you think the draw is for that crankbait bite that they have on Pico Lures?
I don't know that it's necessarily this lake. That crankbait seems to work everywhere from Canada to Mexico.
Right.
You know, it's just these people down here are gullible enough to try them out, and they all like, hey, this works. So they started buying a bunch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, and kind
I didn't mean gullible in a bad way.
The cool thing about this whole thing is the fact that Chris actually has ACT, which is, tell him.
It's a Arkansas Custom Tackle. So we build a full line of spinner baits and bass jigs and things of that sort. So a little small company as well.
Yeah. And so, and Mitch is another person that owns a lure company.
This state actually helped put Pico on the map. A whole lot of the colors of crankbaits I got were painted by somebody in this state.
Right.
On the map. I mean, this is where, you know, remember when finesse fishing was born in California?
Yep.
Yeah, well, crappie fishing was born in Mississippi.
Yeah.
So if somebody from Mississippi sends you a crankbait in the mail and it's one of yours that they've repainted, you really probably ought to pay attention to it. You know, they probably something to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The crazy thing about this is both of them have big blue trophies. So we'll start with you, Mitch, because you're already talking.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess who's got a 5-foot-long trophy? Still, my grandson's still taller than that.
Oh, yeah?
He's also almost as tall as my wife.
Yeah, so, yeah, that'd do it.
But tell them how'd you end up with that trophy?
I got in the right boat on the right place at the right time on Grenada Lake, and we won the Crappie Cranking Championship
just,
down
there. Yeah, like a few months ago or something like that?
Yeah, June. Yeah, end of June. Yeah.
So I mean, you just won that, and guess what? Chris has got him a big blue trophy. The only person who doesn't have a big blue trophy is myself. So at the end of the show, I'm going to award myself the H2O Man of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. How'd you get yours? Tell them what's special about it.
Well, I won a Bassmaster. Bass Nation qualifier over on the Arkansas River at Muskogee last April. Uh-huh. So won that tournament over there, and that's how I got mine.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So in his boat, he actually has some tackle boxes that were made, built before Mitch was born.
Oh, no, I've got some of those, too. I bought mine new. But they are probably older than 95% of the audience.
I guarantee you that. Yeah.
Tell them about those tackle boxes, how cool they are.
They are super cool. It's a set of Plano 7777s and a 777 drawer type boxes that if you looked in a bass boat in the late 70s and early 80s, you would have saw one of these or two or three of them in every bass boat. I've also got some of the old Rebel boxes that you would have saw in the late 70s and early 80s. So cool old stuff that's from a pastime, but I still use it every day.
Yep. Right. I have one of them also. Right. Mine's full of antique baits, except on top of mine, in maybe 83, Red Man had to call off their first ever tournament because of snow and ice on Broken Bow Lake. And they sent us all bumper stickers that said, I was there for the big snowstorm Broken Bow Lake. And I've got that on the top of my 777.
I may have to sneak in there and get that one. I think I need that.
Yeah.
Jealous. He sleeps a lot. You'll be able to sneak right in his room.
I'll have that.
Now, when I'm talking some antique lures, I'm talking I have some Pico Pops.
Oh, boy.
In a heading box.
Yeah.
That say heading on the top and Pico on the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Old stuff.
I'll take those two.
Let's talk a little bit about your style of fishing. If they don't know who you are or what you're all about, tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, my style is kind of like the tackle boxes. It's kind of from a throwback time, but I'm a shallow water guy. I'm a spinnerbait thrower and a jig pitcher and things like that. You know, everything I do is pretty antiquated. But I focus on shallow water, the details that go into finding fish in shallow water. And that's just how I fish all the time.
Right. So, I mean, the rumor is that there's nothing too shallow and there's nothing too wet that you wouldn't drive through. So
hey, I drove through the kind of water I like to fish. A bean field up here, getting here this trip, and you know it got pretty bad. You know, so
there's also that old school train of thought that the more times you can cast in a day, the more fish you're going to catch.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Ask me how I know.
yeah. Who makes the most cast wins? You know.
Yep. But that don't necessarily work anymore. But
yeah, it can be a little tough.
Yeah. Fishing against a different kind of crowd.
From a guy that makes five casts nowadays.
I know. All day long. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Talk about your boat.
Yep. I've got a, kind of like everything else, I've got a 1986 model Ranger 390V.
Right.
It's got a 87 carbureted Mercury 200 on it. So it blows blue smoke. It smells wonderful.
Oh man, that's how you start the day, smelling quicksilver.
Oh, you can't beat it. And then I've got a standard Fortrex trolling motor, no spot lock, none of that, no forward facing, no down scan, no side scan. I've got a little bit of mapping and a little bit of just two-dimensional graphing on my console. I've got a Lowrance 2260 on the console,
right?
Lowrance temp gauge on the on my bow, and I got a Lowrance flasher in my console as well.
Right, like a 1240A.
Yes.
Yep.
I have an in-dash 1240A in my console, and it works just great. And then I got the 2260 old box flasher on my bow.
So there you go.
Just
you know, I'll make a prediction.
Fire away.
That his style of fishing, which I'm not. Yeah, I may or may not know exactly what it is, but
his style, you could possibly.
I could possibly. Yeah. That style of fishing is will make a comeback in about three more years. He will own the water in about 3 years.
I like the idea of that.
By then, he might be old enough and mature enough to handle success.
Yeah, maybe.
But in about 3 years, all this open water fish that's getting beat to snot, they're going to be looking for a new home. It's like, we can't handle living here anymore. And they're going to move to the bank because there ain't nobody there.
Yep. It's already starting to happen a little bit.
It's already happening on this lake. It's happening on Beaver. It's happening everywhere. Yep. That shoreline stretch, you're going to see a day come in about 3 years. Beaver's going to get 6 foot high. All that buck brush is going to be in the water and everything. Everybody's going to be out there in the middle of the lake chasing shadows. And you're going to be able to take a jig and go down through there and just waylay them in the buck brush because they feel safe.
I like that idea, boy. Now, I do.
Well, if the water comes up, they'll be in the buck brush.
Yep.
You remember when I first moved to Beaver?
I do.
I owned that sucker, didn't I?
You did.
You know why? I know you did. You know why? I brought 48 cases of BB3 Bagley crankbaits up here. You know, honest to God, I did.
I believe that.
That's what I had. The BB3. That's the DB3 with a round bill on the front. It wasn't a square bill back then. It was round, but about that long. Everybody on this lake was throwing their little bitty worms, a 16-ounce crappie jig head with a little 5-inch black worm, and it's shaking it in them trees. And y'all was catching the crap out of Kentuckys and everything.
We were.
Everybody on the lake was. I come up here. I didn't know that's what you're supposed to do. So I headed up the river and found every stump row up there and went to winging them crankbaits on it. And when I wouldn't bite a crankbait, I'd throw a spinnerbait and a jig.
Yep.
That's all I knew how to do.
And one.
My crankbait had 18-pound strand on it. All the others had 20 and 25 on
them. I like that.
I didn't have enough line to get down to them fish that you were catching.
Since both
same thing's going to happen again.
Both of you own lure companies. Let's talk about your favorite lure, maybe the most popular lure that you make. And so I'll start with it. I'll give you a second.
Yeah, I had to think on
I'll
that.
I'll start with Mitch. You're most – you should know. You're a numbers person.
I'm
what's
not
your
sure
most
I
popular...
want to share that with everybody.
Well, what's your most popular lure? What's your most popular crankbait?
Right now, probably the most popular. Right, that's seasonal and it changes every year.
Yeah, well, if you're going to say beach ball, you would be correct.
Well, that is with you, but in all reality, probably purple splatterback shad is.
Really?
As far as total overall numbers. Beach ball's cranking it up there, but it's still probably trailing Christmas tree, actually. Mm. You know, those baits just sell by the thousands, and beach ball, it's hundreds and hundreds, but, you know.
Well, I'm glad that no one else likes them. We'll just skip you out of it.
The year I
think you should make it limited edition and just give me what you got left.
I didn't think anything would ever outsell
Geezer clown,
to tell you the truth. And then we brought out that purple splatterback, and pink splatterback does really well too. It's almost eliminated plain pink.
Yeah,
because it will catch crappie. It'll catch crappie instead of
catch walleyes. Yeah, catch everything. So.
But purple splatterback, I think the first year we brought that out, we brought in 2,500 baits, and I ordered them the day after I got them the second order.
Wow.
That shipment that year, everybody knew what day it was coming, and they were pre-ordering the baits for about a week.
Yeah.
And that's when we were in the building inside Garfield City. And the day they got there, we took them directly off the pallets. And I swear I would have rolled up my pant legs to sell one more bait and stood on a highway till I sold it. We sold 9,999 baits that day.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah.
One more.
Yeah.
Should have had Sherry wear us a sandwich board.
I would have pimped myself out on the side of the road to say I sold 10,000
baits. It's a pretty busy road. But, you should have been able to sell one.
Surely. Yeah.
Surely. Should have had some sort of sale.
Yeah, I know.
Like what? No
that
sale.
That was a very There's long no day sales. Packing that out, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad
seriously,
I don't.
Crankbaits are our bread and butter, but our jig heads are
crazy.
Jig heads are running neck and neck with that. I mean, yeah.
Scope. I It's the Pico Lures.
Yeah,
it's
we have a scope eye jig head, and
it's phenomenal.
We make better jig heads than anybody I know. I did that because I know everybody makes jig heads, and I wanted one better.
Right.
And all my jig heads are better. We just took our basic ball head jigs and tube insert heads and all those jigs that had bronze hooks in them.
Uh-huh.
I just upgraded those to a black nickel.
Sickle hook.
Sickle hook. Uh-huh. Well, the sickle hook and Aberdeen hooks.
Oh, yeah.
Even what uh-huh. used to be bronze Aberdeen hooks
uh-huh.
is now a black nickel forged hook.
Right.
And they're all one size bigger per jig head than what you buy everywhere else.
Yeah, larger size. Yep.
So if you're going to go buy an eighth instead of getting a number two, and you're getting a number one, you want a 16th, you're not going to get a four unit, you're going, or a six.
Too small a hook.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like today. I caught that fish on an 1/8-ounce jig out there with a 1/0 hook in it.
You're landing them.
It jumped like a smallmouth, man. And but it was hooked in the roof of the mouth, and it ain't going nowhere.
Right.
You know?
So, all right. Well, Chris, how about you? Do you have a lure that you sold $1,999 and needed to strip down and go walk out in the street to sell one?
I can't say that. I can't say that.
You're not really a tackle company until you start pimping yourself out.
Yeah, no, I'm not there yet.
You will be.
The day's coming.
You will.
You know.
Be.
I know the gist.
Yeah.
It's got to be a spinnerbait, right?
No, or it's not.
Oh, it's a jig, isn't it?
By far,
no.
I wish it was. I sell a lot of spinnerbaits, but they're all mixed up. But when it comes down to what I'd have to say, my number one
most popular
uh-huh. that I sell the most of is going to be a 3/8-ounce, what I call a muddler jig. In an old ugly color. And
really?
It's a green and brown mix. It's a little finesse top jig, bucktail hair jig.
Right.
Wow. It's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous how many we sell.
And you hand do those all yourself?
Stinking one of them. I pour every head.
Welcome to the industry, brother.
I tie every jig. So, and I sell
Lucy
a lot of other
don't
colors.
Help you? Okay, well.
Yeah.
No,
don't have to answer that question.
Yeah, no,
we'll keep you out of jail, out of family jail right there. So there you got a pardon.
She has tried to tie a few bucktails and Prue's like, yeah, forget that crap.
Yeah, you know, forget it. So
there is a little art to that stuff, but
all right,
this is by far my one that it just moves.
Oh, all right.
And it's a unique bait for our area, but it sells extremely well.
What size does it come in?
Anywhere from a 1/8, 3/16, 1/4, 1/8, 3/16, 5/16, 3/8, 1/2, 3/4.
All right.
It's on a ball head with a little wire weed guard, and it's just a really finesse little bucktail jig. It's really popular with the smallmouth guys, and
all right.
sell a lot of them.
There you go. There you have it. That takes us up to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So anything that you're looking for to catch, everything from big crappie down in Mississippi or big largemouth or whatever you're fishing for, or maybe a spinner bait because it's hard to get a good spinner bait nowadays. Chris makes spinner baits, and he has so many different styles and color blades and stuff, so you're gonna check him out there. But you know, Pico Lures, go to www.picolures.com. Chris, tell us a little bit about if they want to see you on YouTube or if they want to order some lures, where would they go?
If you want to check out my YouTube channel, it's Aspiring Tournament Angler Chris Johnson. Go to my YouTube, put a lot of videos on there about old school fishing, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is Aspiring Angler Chris Johnson.
Okay.
There, and you can go to Arkansas Custom Tackle on our Facebook page. We don't have a website or anything yet, but you can go there, send me a personal message. Be glad to try to help you out. That's what we've been doing. It's got our phone numbers on there, everything. You reach right out to us.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.